The tenth Jinki. The transformational path of the tenth Jinki moves from self-obsession to being and is the path of naturalness. If you have this Jinki somewhere in your profile or you're drawn to it or contemplating it, you may be in for a bit of a surprise, although this surprise may also come as a bit of a shock for you. Whatever you're seeking in life, however hungry you are, or exhausted, or frustrated, this Jinki offers you a way out. The problem is that you may not want to take this way out, and the reason is, it's too easy. We humans, we don't often do easy. We like to make things as hard as possible for ourselves. That seems to be the habit of our ego. You know, the harder we struggle, the more we feel we exist. So you'll see that the dilemma here is ease. It cuts very, very deep to this Jinki. You know, in our modern fast-paced world, this Jinki has become like a forgotten backwater in our genes. It's as though we're all racing past this wonderful treasure. We pass it every day on our way to work. Because of our intensity and our expectations and our longing, we miss it within our relationships. And even in the quietness of our inner life, we rarely stop to give it even the smallest moment of our time. The ancients spoke of this thing, this elusive thing that we all seek, and they also speak of it being right under our noses. Well, here it is in this Jinki. The great sage Trengtu spoke of it in his immortal words, "Easy is right." And if you want to really know what this Jinki is all about, then make these three words your creed. Contemplate them over and over again, and really try and understand what they mean for you. This is the shadow of self-obsession, and we all suffer from this disease. We worry about our lives, our future, our clothes, what others think of us. And even if we don't worry on the outside, we're running from ourselves. We hide in our business, in our jobs, through our studies, our busyness. And we've forgotten what it feels like to do nothing. We've forgotten how dreamy life can be. We've completely forgotten how to relax. We're obsessed with knowing where we're going and with knowing who we are and with finding our purpose. And if you've been drawn to the Jinkis, it's partly because of the shadow that's driven you here. But you needn't worry. You needn't rush into self-judgment. You only need to see this pattern in your life. This is what this Jinki asks. This is how transformation occurs, through you doing nothing, from simply seeing how manic you've become. If you take this shadow deeply into yourself, if you explore it and get to know it intimately, your life will just change. You won't be able to help it. Your awareness will turn inwards, but without becoming obsessed, you'll slow down. You begin to enjoy life. You begin to experience life. So few of us really experience life because we're so obsessed with our problems and our challenges, and we've become a deeply selfish species. Think about all the people in the world who are obsessed with finding their perfect partner, you know, the soulmate. That can become a secret obsession that lasts an entire lifetime. Think about all the people striving to make more money, to find more comfort. That can last a lifetime. Our families are lacking in true love, in true safety for our children. Was your adolescence a safe place? Did you feel that loving, joyful holding from your parents? If you did, you're one of the rare ones. You know, we don't need intervention. We don't need guidance, not really. We don't need advice. We need to feel love and joyfulness and acceptance around us. We need to feel a sense of play. Our obsession with the dream is the very thing that undermines our ability to relax in life. We don't need a dream. Life takes care of everything for us. You know, we've forgotten this simplest truth, that life just takes care of everything. And without this truth, we're doomed. We're doomed to be a tight person living in a tight life. And we're angry and we're frustrated and we're bored and we're dissatisfied and we're ungrateful. You know, I'm sorry if this seems to be a negative ranting monologue, but this gene key has a certain ruthlessness to it. You know, I said it was going to cut to the bone. It's remarkable how something so soft and so simple can be so harsh and unforgiving. So ask yourself, where are you self-obsessed? Are you endlessly chasing your own tail, putting off your relaxation until tomorrow, until Friday, until the holidays? You know, what kind of a life is this where only a few weeks of a year you're going to relax? When you add all that up at the end of your days, you're going to see what life has really amounted to. So, ease is before us. But many of us, we just don't take the path. We take the hard path, the steep path, the path of toil and struggle and distraction. But the one who decides to take the easy path, they swiftly find ecstasy. They find playfulness. They find purity and the simplicity of being. You know, the easy path goes through gardens of delight. It has seats placed in beautiful places for us to rest on. It has little tea houses with kind and wise old hosts waiting to serve us. It's lined with friends and with friendships. Friendship is central to this path. It's given central stage. But most of us, we won't take this path in life. We may want to. We may like the sound of it. But our pattern of self-obsession, our addiction to the drama and the struggle, is just too great. So most likely, we're going to turn away. And that is something to think about. The 10th gift, naturalness. You know, nowhere is our self-obsession more pronounced than in our spiritual lives. You know, the more spiritual we become, the more achingly serious we become. You know, the more we think we know. But you know, you have to admit at a certain point that you know nothing, absolutely nothing. I know nothing. Do you think I know any of this? Everything to do with the gene keys comes out of nothing, out of my not knowing. Don't ask me what I know. I couldn't tell you. If I do this same contemplation tomorrow, it would come out completely different. You know, I may say the opposite. No, this isn't science. This isn't dogma. It's nonsense. It doesn't need a sense of continuity. It's wisdom. Truth flows from a sense of naturalness, a place of flow and playfulness. You have nothing to defend with this gift. There is no need to defend any position or opinion because you don't really have one. And spirituality can be the greatest trap. You know, under its veneer, we may one day see that we have only quietly taken on another set of views and opinions and new layers of complexity and thought. I mentioned earlier that this gene key, it gives you a way out. And it does. It truly does. And the way out is naturalness. How to be natural? It can't be done. There's no way to be natural. Naturalness is... it's actually a process of realization. You begin to realize that everything is natural. You can't even say that the shadow is unnatural and that the gift is natural. Self-obsession is natural at the beginning, and then it naturally dissipates as your heart opens. You know, I listen to my children arguing. It's natural. I listen to the birds singing. It's natural. Kind of prefer the birds, to be honest. I feel my laziness. I feel my seriousness. I see pain, beauty, any state between the shadow and the city, and I see only that which is natural. That's naturalness. The gift of naturalness is a softening of our edges. It's a great allowing, a great place of defenselessness. Easy is right. Where will those words go inside you? The ancient Taoists, they teach the art of Wu Wei, the subtle art of inaction, of doing nothing. You don't act and everything gets done. It doesn't mean that literally. This is a very subtle thing to understand. Many have misunderstood these words. You know, all the Advaita teachers out there in the world at the moment. You know, these people who say that there is nothing to do, no spiritual path, no enlightened state, no unenlightened state. They are absolutely right, but they're still there saying it. You know, why are they there saying it? Many times they're saying it, but then they themselves are not living it. If they were living it, they probably would have disappeared into their own lives, because there's no need to teach it. You know, I don't wish to be harsh or judgmental, but this is a subtle truth. You can't decide to be natural and then go and make a career out of it, you know? I mean, I guess I also fall prey to that one. You know, this gene key, though, is easier than that. And some of those teachers, of course, utterly authentic. All are behaving naturally because you can't but behave naturally. But you can also be naturally mistaken. So be very, very careful when it comes to these subtleties. You can see the truth easily enough. Easy is right. If it's playful, if it doesn't take itself too seriously, if it's fresh, original, then it's something emerging from nothing. If it's repetition, if you've heard it somewhere before, then perhaps it's not as pure as you thought. Wu Wei, it's so subtle. It's something you can cultivate inside yourself over time. And it can so easily be mistaken. So be very careful of any spiritual path with this gene key. No, I don't mean with this gene key. I mean, take this gene key into yourself and look at different spiritual paths. And if you're naturally drawn to one, let it be your learning, but don't make it be your home. Gene keys is a perfect example. Allow yourself to become softer, more open, and more yielding. And that is the pathless path that they speak of, the ancients. And that's what we mean here by naturalness. The tenth city, being. You know, when I wrote this city in the original Gene Keys book, I had such fun. You know, I spoke then of the way of the Bodhisattva and the Arhat, two paths or revelations to truth. The Bodhisattva is of the 15th Gene Key, the city of fluorescence. You know, that's the programming partner here. A path of a marvelous and colorful service. The Bodhisattva vows to stay on the path until all beings are enlightened. It's a path of service and sacrifice. And then there is the Arhat. And the Arhat sees that all beings are already enlightened, so why the fuss and the bother? If they're all enlightened, then what am I going to do? There seems to be no point in anything. This tenth city, it's so normal that it seems radical, because it's about meaninglessness. There is no meaning to life. There is no hidden secret. There is just the beauty of this moment turning into the next moment. Naturalness arrives at being. It's always arriving there. But being it's too simple to describe. It isn't even in relation to non-being. You know, the Buddhists speak of being and non-being, but this city is beyond both. It isn't a polarity. I don't know if you're understanding me in this gene key. I don't know if what I'm saying is of any use to you. If you hear what is really coming through, you may experience a spontaneous sense of deep relaxedness pervading your inner being. Utter acceptance of that which is. There is nothing that is not natural. You know, this gets you out of the game. But again, it's so subtle. You can't stop seeking unless the seeking naturally exhausts itself. Many have made that mistake. They hear this truth and then they stop seeking because the attraction of stopping and arriving is so great. It's exhausting to seek, not seeking. You know, and that sounds nice. That must be such a restful thing. So you try it out. You know, your mind buys into the idea. And then you can look at all the seekers in the world and kind of pity them, you know. Have you ever experienced that? Do you know someone like that? Spiritual people become so entrenched in their viewpoints. You know, if you want to believe in angels, if you just naturally know that there are angels, then that is your naturalness. If you're a scientific materialist, that is your naturalist. No. Being is the most inclusive, gentle, and non-superior state. It very, very rarely becomes a spiritual teacher. If it does, then it's with great reluctance, or at least with great playfulness. Because being has no need for teachers or teachings. The moment is the teaching. The arhat may seem like a selfish person. You can see a higher mirror here of the self-obsession in the shadow. You know, but this city isn't interested in self or in itself at all. There is no self. It has nothing to discover. It has nothing to do. And thus, everything gets done through it. How can I possibly make this practical? You know, there's nothing practical about this city. You know, practicality, that's the bodhisattva's path. To be helpful, to be useful, to try and help people move beyond their suffering. You know, that appears very noble and pure, and it is. But on the other side, the arhat is just as pure. It's not that they won't be kind and helpful, but they just don't have any agenda. They haven't made any vow to help all beings. They're just content, utterly content. Being is a state beyond extremes. Its sole characteristic is its neutrality. It's so neutral that it shows up all other extremes so very, very clearly. So if we ever met one of these people, we'd either not even know it on account of their ordinariness, or we'd be deeply disturbed at the depth of our own unrelaxedness. The tenth city, it also knows something marvelous. It knows laughter. Not that laughter is an agenda either, but that pure being alone sees the great human joke. And this gene key lives within the codon ring called the Ring of Humanity, and it connects across to the Ring of Seeking through its programming partner, the 15th gene key. So its role is to show up seeking. But it isn't in contradiction to seeking. That's where you must get the subtlety here. One is not better than the other. But if you do get the big joke in this gene key, then you may come to the end of your spiritual path quicker than you thought. But please don't be seduced by it. If it dawns in you, it will dawn in you. But your seeking must exhaust itself naturally. This is a city you're unlikely to see. It's our natural state, but because of that, it's unnoticeable. That is, unless you spend some time around it. If you do so, you'll see that the ordinary hides the extraordinary. The world was once a place populated by this city, and one day it will be again. You know, Changsu, beloved Changsu, says it thus with his wonderful irreverent humour. Dull and unwitting, men have no wisdom. Thus their virtue does not depart from them. Dull and unwitting, they have no desire. This is called uncarved simplicity. In uncarved simplicity, the people attain their true nature. Then along comes the sage, huffing and puffing after benevolence, reaching on tiptoe for righteousness, and for the first time, the world has doubts. Dull and unwitting. Uncarved simplicity. That's the tenth city.